Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you. WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. Once again, I'm your host, Glenn Thomas. Also with me is the wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, wizard?
We're 15
days away from WrestleMania?
No, a bit more than that. I think
Man, like 17 days.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, maybe my
like
clock's a little bit early.
15 before we leave.
Yeah, 15 before we leave, 17 before the actual show. But nonetheless, we on the countdown are very close to WrestleMania. With that being said, big news this week. If you haven't heard, I don't know if you've been living underneath the rock or you've been on a rock, whatever case may be, Daniel Bryan has returned to the WWE to be able to wrestle in the ring. He is cleared by all types of medical professionals. The main professionals that really make a difference, the WWE doctors, let's be honest. The WWE doctors that had to clear him. He'd been everywhere else and was cleared. But it was the WWE doctors who had the final say. Was it your thoughts on, you know, Daniel Bryan being finally cleared by the WWE? In my opinion, I didn't think this was going to happen. Not until he went to the Indies and then became a star and then they brought him back. But I'm glad to see they didn't allow him to go to the Indies first, that they kept him.
I'm happy for him, first of all. That if anybody's been following him the last couple of years, you know what kind of ordeal this has been and gone back and forth. And I'm very happy for him. Glad his wife Bree really pushed him to make sure he really kind of fought this to say, hey, you know, so because for the longest time you kept hearing everybody else was clear but the WWE doctors, and he finally got clearance from them. But I'm glad WWE, in a sense, stuck to their guns as long as they could, too, because they had to make sure he was good. I mean, sure, he wanted to wrestle, and he was going to wrestle under any circumstances, but they really looked out for his best interest. So this is done the right way on all parties, so I'm glad. Go ahead.
I think it was done on the right party. I think WWE took as much time as they needed to make sure that he was 100% clear, 2 years away from the ring. You know, he needed that. I think his family needed that. He showed how much strength he had in himself and what he could do and what he can do to fight back and make his way back to the WWE. And what better timing than right before WrestleMania, right before WrestleMania 30, the place where one of his greatest accomplishments took place. You know,
right?
Where it was celebration at WrestleMania 30 for Daniel Bryan. You can call it Daniel Bryan Day if you want to say it. I think WWE did a good job with this, bringing him back. I think it being cleared at the right time with the storyline going on with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon. I think it works out perfectly. You know, you can just think about all the great things that could come from this. The type of matches as wrestling fans that we want to see or that we hope that we could see, the Nakamura, Daniel Bryan, the AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, that we wanted to see, Sami Zayn, Daniel Bryan, the Kevin Owens, the Daniel Bryan. So with Daniel Bryan back in the mix now in the WWE, we don't know his schedule. I doubt it'd be a full-time schedule right away.
Oh, yeah. I don't think
it'd be a full-time schedule. I think it'd be hit and miss there. You know, there's a lot of storylines that you can see with Daniel Bryan and do with Daniel Bryan. I think this is good for business for WWE. I know that much more seats were sold in the Superdome because of the Daniel Bryan announcement. I know there will be more people coming to WrestleMania now because of the Daniel Bryan announcement. I just feel sorry for those guys who wait to the last minute. who wait to get their stuff now, and prices have gone up on different things, and with the announcement of Daniel Bryan, it's going to be, a very packed house, a lot of yes chants, a lot of yes shirts, a lot of things going on. I think WWE will be good if they, did a WWE 24 on this, bringing Daniel Bryan back, something to be interested for the network to see the behind-the-scenes stuff. I mean, they did a 24 when he left the company. You can find that on the WWE Network. Would be good for them to have one coming back to the company. Well, so it's a great time for wrestling fans. A lot of major media outlets have picked this up about Daniel Bryan's return because he's one of those. He was a pop culture phenomenon. If you don't, most people don't remember. If you don't remember, a young kid listening to the podcast. I mean, Michigan State. Remember Michigan State doing their title, that's title run. Was yes. The crowd was going off. You know, everybody was doing the yes chant because everybody was getting behind Daniel Bryan. So once again, it was great to see Daniel Bryan back in the WWE ring, and we look for great things. And his health continue to stay healthy and move forward. And like I said, once again, great by WWE taking all precautions necessary to make sure Daniel Bryan was 100% to get in the ring. But also big news this week, we've got our final inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's Mark Henry. Henry is making into the WWE Hall of Fame, which I think is well-deserved. 20-plus years within the company. One of the first few people that had a guaranteed contract for 10 years. You know, within the WWE. So Mark Henry has done a lot of great things. ECW champion, world champion. You know, Mark Henry is definitely a Hall of Famer. Part of the Nation of Domination, had some good storylines and roles. And I think most people remember Mark Henry from when he had the salmon vest on, or jacket on, and talk about his retirement. You know, but one thing about his retirement, it was kind of subtle. This retirement was subtle. It was no hoopla about it. It was just like Mark faded away.
Yeah, I think that's honestly, he went out on his own terms. I think, and I could be wrong, only he can really speak for himself. I think it was one of those situations he just wanted to, and it could be me saying this for myself, but it seemed like it was a situation where he didn't want to be viewed as broken down or old or, you know, put out to the pastures or whatever. He just quietly, you know, just kind of faded into the background and faded out, which, you know, he didn't waste, not that it would have been a waste, but he didn't use up a storyline for his own retirement, which is nothing wrong with that if anybody does it, but he just chose to kind of, you know, go out into the sunset on his own, on his own terms, on his own will, and, you know, I think he did a good job and great career for him. Very, very well deserving of the Hall of Fame. So.
Oh, yeah, well deserving. Yeah, anybody who says is not a Hall of Famer, you're crazy. Just go back and look at some of the things that Mark Henry had done within the company. His earlier years, yes, he was hurt. He was injury prone a little bit. They tried to find a place for him, and finally found a place for him in the Nation of Domination, which really helped him out. That group, those guys really helped each other out. Hope everybody's career helped out. And I think Ron Simmons doesn't get enough credit for that. You know, if you look at the Nation of Domination when he had it, he had a young Mark Henry, he had a young Dwayne Johnson, he had a D'Lo Brown who was pretty much still a little bit young and green as well. And Ron really helped mold those guys, and they helped mold each other into what they needed to be within the company.
Yep.
And so that's what.
And they had a seasoned veteran in The Godfather, so it wasn't just Brooke. You know, they had another voice. That was a very powerful group.
Very powerful group. And yes, I forgot The Godfather, who was also a Hall of Famer. You know, also a Hall of Famer along with Farouk. Ron Simmons, the Hall of Famer as well. You know, and with that being said, the Nation could be one of the few groups that could have everybody into the Hall of Fame. I think we mentioned, you know, I asked you offline, you know, will D'Lo Brown get in? I think he gets in sooner or later. We know that The Rock is definitely a Hall of Famer whenever he decides to actually shut it down, call it retirement.
Right.
I thought he is a Hall of Famer. You know, they will be one of the few groups that will have all every member inducted into the Hall of Fame. Which, you know, when you go back and look at the Nation stuff, they had done a lot, and a lot of those guys have done a lot in the business of the world of professional wrestling. So it will be good for Mark Henry. Kudos to him. It finalizes the class of the WWE Hall of Famers. The speeches, I think, this year will be great.
With
these Hall of Famers, if you look at it, all of them are from the modern era. You know, all of them, as you mentioned, are still living. You know, there's no one who's dead on here. And I think every one of these guys' speeches, they've been through a lot in the business, guys and females, meaning Miss Ivory, will be able to tell a lot of story. And they are Attitude Era people. Except for Hillbilly Jim, they are Attitude Era people. So
yeah,
I think this is a great class, a great Hall of Fame that WWE has put together. And once again, congratulations to Mark Henry for being one of the inductees for the WWE Hall of Fame this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hats off to him. And, you know, next point, you know, Ronda Rousey, we mentioned her last week by not being on Raw. This week, mm-hmm. she was on Raw. For all the fans out there listening, said, we need Ronda. She told us she'll be there every Monday. Well, you got her this Monday. And what better way to show her that she has been training a little bit by giving her a little action with Dana Brooke?
Yeah.
She didn't talk much. She gave what she could do on the mic, but she had a little action with Dana Brooke. I think, and then WWE showed a great vignette. We mentioned a vignette here on the show last week. Your thoughts on the vignette with Ronda Rousey and her little action with Dana Brooke?
I thought it was, you know, something for the live crowd, because I don't think that came on TV. I only saw it online, so I don't think that came on TV. But for as far as, you know, people, you know, reaching to grasp on anything, as far as, oh, Ronda says she'd be there every week and she's not, who's to say that's her fault? Who's to say that's not WWE's, you know, doing for just not exposing her so much and trying to keep her mystique in the process, you know, just kind of showing, okay, she's been training, she's going to be good to go come WrestleMania. And I think she will. She's already been training long before that. And I'm sure they have her still on the regular training routine and mixing some stuff in with Kurt Angle for the chemistry and for, you know, the continuity of the match. But anything that she's doing right now, she's already going above and beyond trying to really make sure she establishes herself with the culture of the current women's superstars. So I'm all on board for Ronda. I think she's going to do great. Until she really messes it up, all we can do is just, you know, watch. We can't judge her on anything because we don't have a product out there yet of her. So people knocking it, just, you know, have a little patience with her.
Definitely have a little patience with her. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be one of the great matches of the card. I think she will do what she needs to do in order to make it a memorable moment, a must-see TV moment, if I can steal that from The Miz, something that ESPN, ABC News, Fox Sports, everybody in the media world will be talking about. And not only it fulfills the purpose that WWE wants to do for WrestleMania, and that's put the world eyes on its product. Each and every year, if you look at it, it has put the world eyes on the product. And what better way to have one of the baddest women in the world? I don't care if she lost two fights. She's still the baddest woman in the world. And your wife or your girlfriend won't step in an octagon or ring with her. She is one of the baddest women there. You know, another match that's been named this week, and, you know, it's Cedric Alexander taking on Mustafa Ali. And that's for the Open Cruiserweight Championship, which was left behind by Enzo Amore when he was released from the WWE company. You know, I've been hearing a lot of talks here from a lot of people saying that Cruiserweight title shouldn't be on the card. And I'm sitting here like, yo, why? Now, it is a title. I'm a big proponent of, if you have a championship and this is your big event, put the Cruiserweight title on the card. Not necessarily on the pre-show. Let it be on the card. These two guys are professionals and wrestlers, a professional wrestler, and they're in the spot. Whether it's 205, whether you like 205 live or not, there's a Cruiserweight division, and Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali should be on the main card of WWE. Your thoughts real quick on, you know, Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali being the two finalists for the Cruiserweight championship. I know some thought Drew Gulak would get that spot, but somehow someone in WWE likes Mustafa Ali.
Well, I mean, you kind of alluded to how this should be on the – and I hear you. It's not going to be on the main card. It's just – and not even for reasons of it just being the Cruiserweights. It's – right now there's – I believe I counted – there's either 14 or 15 matches that we're going to have in WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's 11 official matches in this, several more that we could say that have not been official yet. Yeah, but they will be official.
Yeah, so there's just not enough time. I mean, they're going to do great on the pre-show. So this match has pre-show written all over it. And like I said, that's not because of their talent. It's just the way that crumbles, that cookie crumbles, they're going to be on the pre-show. There's just not enough room. There's not.
I disagree with you. I think the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal will be on the pre-show this year. I don't think that'll be on the main card. I don't see them putting both.
But the women
will
be.
The women will be.
The Battle Royal probably will be.
Yeah,
that's
the women
what
will
saying.
Be. The top 11 matches they have so far, and we run real quick. And we're not gonna pick any, but I'm just gonna let you know. You got Brock versus Roman, AJ versus Nakamura, The Miz versus Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode versus Jinder Mahal, Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax, Charlotte Flair versus Asuka, Cesaro and Sheamus versus Braun Strowman, whoever his partner is gonna be, Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali. So you will get some kind of match with Sami Zayn, Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon, some kind of combination of a match that's there, you know, that you'll put on the card as well. And then you got another, so you're looking at right there, that's 12 matches, 13 matches that we know. Two will be on the pre-show. We got the tag team title
time,
match. Tag team title matches. It's not
No, I can tell you this now. They're not going to do that to the Usos or New Day. That will be on the main card. Usos and New Day and Bludgeon Brothers, which is rumored to be the match we're going to get, that will be on the main card. There wouldn't be emphasis put on the Usos not being on the WrestleMania main card these past 8 or 9 years they've been with the company if they were going to just put that on the pre-show again. I can tell you now, that's not on the pre-show. That will be on the main card.
Yeah, I agree that was on the main card. But like I said, Andre the Giant is on the pre-card. We get three matches on the pre-card on the pre-show.
Yeah, it could be. I think there's like 13, 14 matches now. So, yeah,
if we get three, Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali will be on the pre-show. We don't, then there's one of these matches we can almost guarantee there's about four matches out of 11 that we said will not be on a, five of them will not be on a pre-show. You won't have Brock, you won't have AJ, you won't have Ronda, you will not have Charlotte and Asuka. I can see Alexa and Nia maybe being pushed down there. I can see that one being pushed down. Miz, Seth Rollins, and Finn Balor, it's not going to be pushed to the pre-show. That's not going to happen. Cesaro and Sheamus versus Braun and whoever his opponent it is, yes, I can see that being pushed to the pre-show. But I doubt it because of who Braun Strowman is, and I will talk about that later because I think I mentioned it last week, who I think his opponent, his partner should be. I think it should be the Big Show. I think it should be the Big Show. But nonetheless, it's always fun and interesting to see which matches start off the show, which matches will be on the pre-show. When we get the whole list, it may take this cloudy picture a little clearer for us. Mm-hmm. Which match is going to be on the pre-show? Speaking of Monday Night Raw, speaking of top matches, Roman Reigns got the beatdown this week by Brock
Lesnar.
Handcuffed Roman Reigns gets the beatdown by Brock Lesnar. After Roman Reigns sneaks into the arena, even though he is temporarily suspended, gets on a microphone and talk about Brock Lesnar and confronts Kurt Angle and talk about Brock Lesnar. Brock comes out after Roman Reigns is arrested by not the regular police, and this is just where my disbelief comes in for the WWE, but the U.S. Marshals. The U.S. Marshals.
Hey, they were in Texas. You never know.
They were in Texas. U.S. Marshals arrest Roman Reigns. Handcuffs him, and Brock Lesnar comes and give him the traditional beatdown while he's handcuffed. I think this is great for WWE. In my opinion, I thought it made Roman made Brock look even that much stronger leading into this match against him and Roman Reigns, and it gives a different storyline from what it was in WrestleMania 31. That was my biggest concern here, was when these guys wrestled again, how would the story be told? You can't talk about the Samoan heritage like Paul Heyman did the first time. Can't talk about, you know, Roman, you never lived up to everybody, your stature, everybody else. So they had to do something different. I thought the way they're doing it with Roman and, and Brock make it fresh and make it new, and doesn't make me think about WrestleMania 31? Your opinion?
Yeah, I agree. They're taking the more realistic approach, I guess you could say, because they know people are going to know that Brock's leaving. So,
do we know that for sure? Do we know that for sure?
We don't. However, that's the current mood. So they're going to play the storyline off as such. So I think Roman, you know, the way they're approaching it gives you something fresh and gives you an interest to watch it. So I'm on board.
Definitely on board for that. You know, something we touched on last week, which WWE, and my hats off to Stephanie McMahon and WWE for listening to the WWE Universe, changing the name of the Fabulous Moolah Memorial Battle Royal to the WrestleWomen's, let me make sure I got the correct name here, the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. I thought this was a good move. I think I alluded to it at the end of the show last week. If you don't know the research or history of Fabulous Moolah did a lot of things with women, pimped them off to a lot of promoters.
Allegedly. We don't know.
I'm going to say allegedly, because there have been a lot of accounts by family members, been alleged accounts by Luna Vachon, who's not here to speak for herself now. I've spoken to some people personally, allegedly.
I'm just saying allegedly to cover our butts, you know.
Allegedly, don't want the Moolah family to come after me, or the brand. Allegedly, been rumored to do a lot of things with women wrestlers, pimp them off with her and her late husband in the early 60s, late 70s, and even well into the 80s. And WWE made a good call, especially with this woman movement, the Me Too movement. And then not only that, they had over 10,000 signatures from the change.org to help to sign this to get it removed. And WWE, listen, it was great for WWE to listen. It was good for them to change the name. And I'm not going to say no one did their research. I just think they were naive to the fact that many people would understand or know this side of the Fabulous Moolah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's exactly what it was. But to allude as far as the change, I mean, yes, fans absolutely made this change happen. I think another thing that made this change happen, too, was called Spade to Spade. Once Snickers started, you know, making, you know, grumbles about it, that makes a huge difference when they're the main sponsor of the show. They pull out, you know, that's a lot of money lost, so.
Yeah, we all know money talks. Money in that world, money in any world, money talks. The good book says money is the answer to all things, but also, if you take away the money, you lose your answer. And Snickers, you didn't want the Snicker money to leave because of what was going on with Fabulous Moolah's past and her allegations. Not to take away what she did in the ring, not to take away that she was a trailblazer for the WWE, holding the WWE women's title for over 27 years. So not to take away any of that, but it's a new day and a new era, and people want things to be on the up and up, wrestling fans and sponsors. So we saw that wrestling fans and the sponsors made it a big deal, and no one wants to lose a dollar or lose any type of money when it comes especially right now when it comes to the WWE brand. So especially while the stock is doing well, let's keep it going. We don't want a WWE doesn't want a Snapchat incident, if you know what I mean, if you're keeping up with the news, where something can be said or done and in the public eye and your company lose millions. The stats, Snapchat has lost over $800 million because of Rihanna's comment about, you know, one of their posts that Snapchat did or their ad with Chris Brown. Nonetheless, you got to understand why WWE did what they did. And I think no one will remember after the Women's Battle Royal anyway. You didn't hear too much chatter about it this week. Everybody was cool with the change, and we moved on. It was goodbye. Like I said, once again, goodbye Stephanie McMahon and to listen to the WWE Universe and for them to change it there. Also, you know, also, like I said, the Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax will be his name for the WWE Raw Women's Championship, which was officially announced that Nia will take on Alexa Bliss, true life friend. Is WWE just moving in the right direction? I think both shows this week were good. I think both shows had a purpose and told the story that it needed to tell. The last thing I want to talk about before we get about it here is the total But Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Bray Wyatt, total deletion. Your thoughts?
Very well done, especially something out of the box, something different as far as the presentation that WWE had seen before. I thought it was done very well, and they let Matt shine, and we got the result was a great match, you know, and it had just enough silliness or out of this worldness to it that you know it was, you know, predetermined, I guess, as the sport is, but it came off very entertaining. So I think they did a great job.
I think they did a great job. Still, you have those people out there saying, "Oh, it wasn't better than the one at TNA." But guess what? With the WWE production, I thought this one was great. I thought this was good. If you hadn't watched the one at TNA, go check it out on YouTube. You can check it out. And there's always going to be some people that's going to hate with WWE because WWE put their touch on it. They put their feel on it, their production, their camera. This was Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy's baby, and I think it was well done. I think Bray Wyatt did well. I think it's making Bray Wyatt a little bit more relevant. I think the WWE and Matt Hardy is keeping Bray Wyatt relevant because Bray was doing nothing there for a minute. Bray was doing nothing there for a minute. Bray was just going downhill. But this keeps Bray Wyatt relevant for the upcoming WrestleMania season. This is good. I thought they did well. Thought they did very well with it. No complaints whatsoever by what WWE did with the total deletion. Final point here for the final point of night, WWE, I believe in Saudi Arabia, 50-man battle royal. I think WWE made a great call here. That is going to be on the network. It's going to be on the network. You cannot have 50-man battle royal, all your titles up on the line, and not put this on the WWE network. I think it's a great call here. You know, it was, if you mentioned a few months ago where we saw that we did not see the historic match between Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks on the network. And many people wanted to see that. I think with the network, you have opportunity to do a lot of things. This is not called a pay-per-view per se, but it will be opportunity for us to view this historic event that will take place, 50-man battle royal, the largest battle royal, largest Royal Rumble, if you want to call it that way, ever. The 40-man Royal Rumble that was won by Alberto Del Rio was the largest until we can call this one the largest Royal Rumble here. I think WWE is doing a great job with expanding the WWE network and expanding their brand worldwide. And this is a great call by them to put this on a network for fans to get up and see this historic event, this historic night. Your thoughts?
I thought it was a good job that it won't follow traditional storylines. I think this is more of a one-off, but it'll be fun to see. It'll be something entertaining, something different. Like they said, biggest one they've ever had. There'll be titles on the line at that show. It gives the fans here in America a real chance to see what WWE, a taste of what WWE does internationally. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. 7 championship matches, 50-man Royal Rumble. Great job by the WWE to be able to do this. Hey, Wizard, man, I think all my talking points for the night, man. And,
Saudi
Arabia.
Me too, man.
Hey, countdown to WrestleMania next week. We'll be 1 week closer before we leave off for WrestleMania.
Yep, absolutely. I'm ready.
I'm ready. You're ready. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed this show, check us out on iTunes as well as Google Play. Wrestling Marks of Excellence. If you miss any of our shows, please check it out once again, iTunes and Google Play. Please subscribe so you'll never miss a show again. Continue to follow us on Twitter. Hey, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of story. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.